Hey guys, Scott Brennan here, host of Verbal Shenanigans, joined by my co-host and somewhat of a friend, Michael Berlew.
I'm your bestest buddy.
But before we get to this podcast, this wonderful podcast, this is another great episode, as you would expect from the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
That guest that's coming up is awesome.
Yeah. But I want to tell you about our main sponsor of the show, and we couldn't be any happier to work with, Wolf Nation. Wolf Nation. W-U-L-F Nation. Check them out on Instagram. Check them out on Facebook. And check out wolfnation.com because wake up, live free. W-U-L-F. Okay. If you're a man with a beard and you're just wolfing it.
Exactly.
And you're tired of the corporations holding you down and whatnot.
Damn right.
Wolf Nation represents that. It's a clothing line, an apparel line for kids, dogs, women, grandmas, anything. Okay?
And this is one of the best times to look because you figure we still got the winter hours, so we still got all those winter clothes and sweatshirts. And coming up soon in spring, you're going to need those stylish T-shirts to go with those sweatshirts for later on in the year.
That's it. So as the podcast is just about to start, go down and look at Wolf Nation. Wake up.
Live free.
Hey, guys. This is Kane Callis, and you're tuning in to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. Stay tuned.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah. I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Yes, and welcome to Verbal Shenanigans, the LARPer's favorite podcast.
Number one in the Middle Earth.
Number one in all the LARP sites around the world on the LARP ratings, the LARP chart. LARP charts, that's what it is.
LARP charts, yeah.
Number one in the LARP charts around the nation. We are Verbal Shenanigans, and if you have no idea why we're saying that, we just came off of LARPing, if you heard our cast 2 weeks ago. And we got good reaction from that podcast.
Yeah, they they kind of love it, man. And we were looking over on the Facebook group, and a lot of positives. People love the podcast. People were saying, oh, man, I didn't know there was a podcast there. I love podcasting. So we missed out on an opportunity, man.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think we missed out on anything. I think they missed out.
That is true.
We were there.
Yeah, that is correct.
We were the two guys that had no clue what we were doing walking around. You had a soda on your head because your headache.
In my eye.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Oh, his character's great. I love what he's doing.
Oh, see, some kind of cyclops with like a boulder in his eye? I love it.
Unbelievable. Dude, did you see the can eye guy? I don't know if he's an ogre.
Oh, man, I don't want to mess with him later on.
But anyway, welcome to another edition of this fine show that we call Verbal Shenanigans. And a lot of good stuff tonight. A lot of good stuff. Let's just get some announcements out of the way. Let's get some announcements. February 21st. I got to promote our show. Okay, not our podcast.
Not the Daytona 500.
No, why? Is that the Daytona 2?
Yeah.
All right. Two big things.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Two big things. So when Trevor Bain wins the Daytona.
Yeah. I think he'll show up in Dover to celebrate.
He'll be showing up in Dover, New Jersey at table 42. Oof, I just burped. That was hard to get out. That was my Howard Stern shock jock burp right there.
Oh, well. You just hacked him, man. Come on now.
February 21st, headlining Mr. Mark Riccadonna, guesting Mr. Joe Conti. You were pointing at the beer and giving me the thumbs up. I was distracted. guesting Jackie Byrne, featuring Mr. Joe Conti, and I will be hosting once again. We've got good fundraiser we got going for the Dover Police, Dover Firemen. Okay, one of those guys. Dover Firemen and $35 for dinner and a show on a Sunday night. So
can't beat that, man.
Get on out. If you need any information, please contact us. So Berlew, how's it going?
Not bad. I've been a little bit of a tour guide for one of my people from Dalian, China.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So what do you mean a tour guide?
Well, he's basically been down, and I've been showing him the different facilities and so forth. The sad thing is they had a whole weekend planned for him to bring him up to New York City to see the big lights and everything, mm-hmm. then head down to Philadelphia, see those cities, see those museums. Then Mother Nature decided, you know what? This guy would really love 48 hours of straight hotel time.
Ah, yes. So poor Ling Ming had to stay in the...
His English name is Daniel.
Boring.
His Asian name is Liang.
How does that work? Shouldn't his name just be Liang all the time?
I guess...
He crosses the border and he's Daniel?
I guess that's like a culture thing where it's like we... Listen, Americans, we understand you're just going to screw up our name anyway, so here's an easier thing.
Either that or the boss is just like, he's Daniel's son, you know?
No, like everybody in that entire facility, they have their real name and they have their English name.
All right. So what, did you...
Like Jing Li, Crystal.
Natural. Yeah, that sounds so identical.
Pifeng Ma, Bill.
It's like when you get a call, like your cable is out, and you got a call like over to India to, hi, this is Ed.
That's what, when we started my company over in India, so many of the original recordings of the call, it's like, tell me what your real name is. No, my name is Kyle. No, it's not. Kyle, where are you in? I am in America, just like you.
Living in America.
Well, what's it like outside? There's so many...
so many things.
There's so many American things out there. It's too patriotic. I'm crying, sir.
So are you still miserable with the job currently?
With the job, yeah. It wasn't half bad week, but, you know.
Well, you know, like a couple months ago, I had asked you, I'd given you jobs over time, like a bunch of jobs that were pretty, you had to choose between two jobs.
I asked during the LARPing event, where's the king so I can get that whipping boy job, and they couldn't point me to him.
Yeah, and so I had asked you a bunch of different jobs. You had all sorts of different things, the whipping boy, the food tester for the king. But I brought up some, instead of just jobs, I brought up some job titles that you might want, you know, like, so instead of IT dude or whatever is your actual title. I thought maybe you might...
Oh!
A little out there. Yeah. Lover Boy came in hot in that one.
I will take the title of Lover Boy, yes.
So, here's a couple titles that are out there.
All right.
Would you like to be called a digital prophet? A digital prophet.
No, that sounds like I need to know something in the future.
These are not LARP names either. Like AOL fills the position with something named Shingy, who holds dominion over profitable marketing strategies. They are called digital prophet.
Oh, okay. Shingy, that's Christopher over in China.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's good to be back. How about a retail Jedi?
Ooh. That sounds like something for Best Buy.
Yeah, companies like in corporations, Convergys, use this moniker for entry-level employees on the sales line. Sounds more demeaning than exciting.
Yeah, well, granted, you need to pay your bills and have health benefits, but do you get the cool title of Jedi?
See, I think that's BS. If you're entry-level, you shouldn't have to call it Jedi. Like, that should be...
Yeah.
I am the retail Jedi, man.
I just started today. I'm Yoda.
Yeah.
Bull.
Not cool. How about a dream alchemist? Dream alchemist.
I guess I can consult with my boy Freddy in that scenario.
Okay. So a dream alchemist is employed by tech startups such as Kyogre and Quickstep, which also known as the head of creative or lead designer. They find ways to convert ideas into brand. You are the dream alchemist.
So basically, I come up with a great idea. They say, thank you, we stole it, and then they profit.
Correct.
Okay.
How about the director of marketing, the direct marketing demigod? Vistage International Consulting Firm apparently markets as a Zeusin level and will therefore only hire a demigod to manage their marketing division.
Just out of curiosity, I take this job. I'm like, all right, I got to go find a new job. How many people are going to take it seriously that I say I'm a demigod?
How, and then when you put your references, Lord, call Lord Smith.
Yeah, call Yoda. He mastered me in the Jedi stuff. Christopher, as we brought up earlier.
What about a Kindle book evangelist? An Amazon employee.
I like that one.
An Amazon employee devoted to preaching, marketing, and selling the Kindle platform. It's a Kindle book evangelist.
That's just a salesperson.
Yeah. A lot of these seem to be just sales positions. How about, this is one of my favorite, Wizard of Lightbulb Moments. You're the Wizard of Lightbulb Moments.
I think he killed me during the LARPing event.
So this, a walking nexus of positive thoughts and inspirational quotes, this specific wizard uses most of his magic on management consulting. Here's another one of my favorite, buddy. This is what I think I'd be. An innovation Sherpa. Microsoft has a Sherpa for innovation who, in addition to research of some sort, presumably does all the work and gets none of the credit.
He lives like in Tibet, and, like, just wears like tattered rags and stuff like that. And Steve Jobs has to climb up a 20-mile mountain just to talk to him for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And then just one more. There's a happiness hero. Happiness hero.
I need a happiness hero.
Buffer, a social media app startup, employs several happiness heroes who are tasked with pumping joy into users one click at a...
Pumping
joy into users sounds a little weird.
You're not going to get people off of Facebook and Twitter with your happiness heroes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then there are a couple other ones. Purpose promoter, chief observance officer. But those were some fun ones. I would like to be the innovation Sherpa.
I guess that's a pretty good one.
Wizard of Lightbulb Moments. Kindle Book Evangelist? That seems like you. You can be the evangelist of Kindle platform.
I don't like preaching. No. I'm a very solitude.
And then there's always Genius at the Apple Store.
They rejected me.
Yeah. So, I just thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Fun to think of some other
job
titles.
I can quit my job
there.
And make $7 an hour with that cool title.
That's it. What do you got this week? I got a couple things, but
A couple things. I was going through YouTube a couple days ago. I was listening to Queen. Every time I think back to Joey Mercury, it's like
Freddie Mercury.
I'm sorry,
Joey Mercury.
Joey Mercury was a wrestler
in a cover band down the street.
He was a wrestler too for WWE.
Oh,
but every time I think about, I'm like, God, I wish he was around during our time. You know, just incredible, the kind of stuff they came up with. And I came across, they have YouTube videos where they take out the music and it's just
funny
vocals.
You say that. I was just listening to those this week, too.
Yeah. And
it's amazing.
It's just incredible, his voice. And it doesn't even need music. And then you figure all these musicians nowadays, they need to be about 10 different computers to make them sound decent. It just...
It's funny. I was listening to that too, actually. Yeah. Maybe someone posted on Facebook or something like that.
I don't know. If you want to look up Queen vocals only on YouTube, like the one that was really good was We Are the Champions.
Yeah. It's funny. Well, we must have been doing the same exact thing. Mm. We might have been at the same video at the same time. Like some kind of.
Like some podcast buddies.
Yeah, some We Are the Champions. Time, I've done my sentence. But committed no crime. Holy shit, I got AIDS!
Is that the extended version?
It kind of sucks a bit!
I wish they invented condoms so I didn't have this in my body!
I hate my companion. He's not my friend. He put the AIDS in my end. Yes.
We still miss you,
Freddy. I'm sorry, Freddy.
Even though we've just mocked you to no end.
But yes, probably the best rock singer. I think we've definitely talked about this at some point. What's really funny is this week, let me bring it up.
This week's in AIDS.
Now, you think of Miley Cyrus, right? You think of, like, real shitty, poppy, crappy, like, you know. All right, goodbye, Freddie. Well, it's not the first time we said that to him.
There was that big time we really did.
But I saw a version of her singing Jolene, you know,
I think I saw that one.
It's freaking good, man. It's really good. Girl can sing.
She does have pipes. It runs in the family.
I know. But it's like, if she did stuff like this, I'd, like, download her music.
Yeah.
Like, check it out. It's good.
Jolene.
Like, you know, you got talent like this. Why make the shit songs? You know, like, why? I know the money and fame, but
yeah.
You make stuff like this, musicians respect you all over the place.
Well, I mean, let's also remember when she started, she was, what, 13, 14 or something like that. So,
yeah,
it's easier to get on Disney. Hey, my dad's popular. Hey, we got a gimmick where I wear a wig and I'm super popular with the kids. And
she's actually a... recording a CD, or she might have already with the Flaming Lips.
Oh, I remember them. I love the Test song.
Yeah, it's Flaming Lips and her as like vocals together. So it's like she's teeter tottering on like being some stupid pop star and maybe actually making some legit music.
Well,
and if this is what she sounds like, I mean, this shit's good right here. She got a cool band behind her too. I don't know who that is.
Is it Tooth Grinder?
No, but I saw Tooth Grinder put out a whole bunch of new songs.
Oh, really?
New albums out, I think. So
oh.
Hopefully that's
going
well.
We're going to have to check it out one of these days.
Yeah. If you're ever in a mood to, like, kill somebody. But.
Well, I mean, again, I mean, she's gone through every circle. She went from the cheesy pop, all the girls love me, to the I'm rebelling against my dad and I'm 21 and I want you to think of me as a sexual woman phase. Where
sexual woman.
Yeah, and got super obnoxious, and now she's kind of like, all right, the obnoxious thing is kind of dying down and people aren't listening.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully she just goes bare bones, like talent and singing stuff, and, you know, maybe that'd be interesting. But let's shift gears here.
All right.
I am so excited.
4K.
This show, we've gotten a lot of guests on, okay? Everyone is like I said, is one of my children. You know, you like some better than the others.
I know a few children that you don't speak of anymore.
Right. Meet the Hack-O-Lantern. You know, so certain ones you love and certain, you know, you think are better. But to me, it's not always about the size of the guest. It's the fight. No, it's the originality in the guest. For instance, like something like if you go back and listen to one of our episodes, Open Biome, it's called Talking Shit. It was all about a company that buys poo for research. It was fascinating. Mm-hmm. Paul Templer, a guy was attacked by a hippo, you know, like...
Sharon Alexander,
sumo wrestler, Darren Hudson, a professional lumberjack. And I have just as much fun with those I do with, you know, if it's someone like Trevor Bayne or Marcelo Balboa or someone, or Russell Davis or any of those guys. So this week, I God willing, he answers the Skype call here. But, Brett, will you like the movie Cool Runnings?
I quite enjoyed it. John Candy, very underrated in that role, and very great.
Well, we don't have John Candy on, so I don't want to get you that excited.
Can we get John Candy and Freddie Mercury on the same podcast?
I actually was able to reach out to Devin Harris. Now, not the guy who played, I think, in the NFL, okay? Not the guy who was on the Bears, I think, for a while.
I think that was his team, yeah.
But one of the original Jamaican bobsledders from 1988.
Amazing.
Okay. Devin Harris, who is now a motivational speaker. So let's try to get him on the line. So this should be really cool.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, is this Devin Harris? It's Scott Brennan here.
Hey, they call me that sometimes, man. How are you?
All right, man. And this is my co-host here, Michael Berlew.
Greetings, Devin.
Hey, what's going on, dude?
Doing good.
Devin.
Where are you guys? Where are you guys?
We are in New Jersey.
Oh, my God. I'm talking to Jersey boys, man?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah,
you know.
The Jersey boys. We're going to sing for you in a bit.
You know, someone's got to live here. So where are you? You in Jamaica right now or what?
I'm in New York, man. I'm across the border.
Oh. See, you're like right down the road. We could have met up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's true, too. But where in Jersey are you?
We are in Woodbridge, New Jersey right now.
Is that Bergen County?
No, it's Middlesex, Central Jersey.
Yeah, central, southern part of Central Jersey, I would say.
Yeah, by Sayreville, Avenel. By Avenel, Port Reading. Well, whatever.
Edison.
But
so yeah. My dad lives in Union County.
That's not far at all. It's about 20 minutes from here.
It's all good. I live in Rockland County, New York. So
wow, nice. So you're not that far at all.
No, it's all good. But you know, stay over there, man. Don't come over here.
So Devin, so much to talk about with you. You know, like I got in touch with you through Twitter, and then actually through your website was where I really got in touch with you.
How did you find me on Twitter? I'm curious.
I looked up. Basically, the premise of the show is to always find someone interesting, whether it's an artist, a chef, an athlete. So I looked. I thought it'd be really cool to get one of the Jamaican bobsledders on, and I just Googled your names, and then I found Devin Harris.
Dude, you don't have much to do with your time, do you?
Yeah, I got nothing. This is all I do, actually. I torment people until they say yes.
We're going to sit here in the basement for about 3 weeks until our next guest. So.
No, it was kind of interesting because I had just emailed this woman, Amy Cuddy, I think her last name is. I think I saw a news article on her.
Uh-huh.
She had just written a book. And I texted her, or contacted her through Twitter, saying, "Hey, I want to interview you. I'm just launching a podcast as well.
Wow!
Keep on pushing radio, where I want to kind of talk to people, about success and so on and so forth." And then right after I did that, you contacted me on Twitter. So
she beat us to you.
Darn. No longer exclusive.
Well, she hasn't. Here's the thing: I responded to you. She hasn't responded to me yet.
Oh. Well, then, see, I respond like over and over again until people get sick of me.
Yeah, again, nothing to do.
But, Devin, like I said, first off, like, I don't know really where to start. I know, like, nowadays it seems like you're doing all sorts of motivational speaking and whatnot, but let's go back in time a little bit first. You were born and raised in Jamaica, correct?
Yeah, Jamaica, West Indies, though, not Jamaica, New York. Let's just clarify that. Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a long story between you being born and becoming a bobsledder. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing and what you got into, and kind of guide us along your journey here.
Not all that long, actually. Only 22 years.
Oh, we got that much time. So,
was born and raised in Kingston. Spent a few years. In my early years in the country, a small, real country town in St. Elizabeth on the southern end of Jamaica, and then came back to Kingston. I grew up in a place called Olympic Gardens, actually, believe it or not.
Olympic
Gardens is basically the hood. It's one of the toughest ghettos in the world.
Oh,
okay.
And that's kind of where I grew up, in a really tough, violent, impoverished neighborhood in Kingston, but really loved school. So in elementary school, I did well. I did pay attention in class, but
yeah, that's what we all say.
Loved to play, boy. couldn't wait for that bell to ring, man.
Yeah,
so that's kind of where I discovered sports. My first love was soccer.
Yep.
I was fairly good. My nickname was Pele. I was nicknamed after the Brazilian great.
It's a pretty good nickname to have.
Yes, I would say so too. But I don't know that I lived up to it because I go to high school and I started playing some soccer, but ended up running track.
Yeah, I actually coach high school soccer.
But the name stuck. So I was Pele, not the soccer player, but the middle distance runner.
Nice.
Growing up, the two things that I really, really wanted to do were, one, first and foremost, join the army as an officer, and the other was to go to the Olympics. Not to bobsled, to as a middle distance runner. I ran 800 and 1500 meters.
800 is like one of the hardest races.
Here's the thing, man. It's if you're from Jamaica. It's actually easier to run 800. You know, I couldn't win anything.
No.
Know, that's like, that's not fun, you know, third, fourth, you know, in the hundreds.
I mean, Jamaica's always been known for some of the best runners. I mean, Usain Bolt and...
Yeah, best sprinters, exactly. So, I mean, you know, if you can't win, some you find something that you can win, and I found 800 meters. So, see, I was born a winner, man.
There you go.
So yeah, so that's kind of, you know, what happened there. And right after high school, I enlisted in the Jamaica Defense Force and then went to Sandhurst, the full name Royal Military Academy Sandhurst in England. Did my basic officer training, came back, and now we're in 1987, the summer of 87, and the Olympics are coming up the following year. And I'm, you know, running my 5 miles every morning. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I could get fit enough to qualify for the Seoul Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. And two Americans came up with the idea to start a bobsled team in Jamaica. And
so when this idea is put out there, are you guys like, are you kidding me? Like, you've never seen, have you even seen a bobsled before in Jamaica?
So I when it came up, I thought this had to be the most ridiculous idea ever conceived by man. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I'm doing this, you know? I found out about bobsled. Yeah, I had a really vague idea what it was. I knew it was a winter sport. I knew it was fast and dangerous. I wasn't able to describe a sled to you. Didn't know what it looked like. Didn't know about the Winter Olympics until, 1984, my last year in high school. And the only way I found out about it because I was on my school's quiz team, which is a little bit like Jeopardy here, but for high school, and it's a team competition.
All right.
And paid a little bit of attention in class. And the Winter Olympics in Sarajevo was that year. And so when you're studying current events, you go, Sarajevo Winter Olympics. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Never gave it a second thought. And 4 years later, I'm competing in the Winter Olympics in bobsledding.
So what was the interview process like when they came down to Jamaica? Were they just specifically targeting different parts of the bobsled team, or were they just looking for the fastest or just generically good athletes?
I was saying they were looking for guys who had a screw missing. You know, they administered this test, and it was the very same test that the U.S. Olympic bobsled team used back then. In fact, they had two guys from the U.S. team who came down to administer the test. And so you're sprinting 30, 60, 100 meters, 300 meters, five consecutive standing broad jumps, through a shot put from between your legs. And then there was a standing high jump. You do some power cleans. And then there was what we call a push test. It was they had a makeshift sled on wheels and you pushed it. And, you know, basically you're given three attempts at each discipline or each test, and then they score you based on your performance. And the idea was to find people who were fast and explosive.
What were the guys who came up with the idea? What was their goal here? To coach the team, to get a team in there, or
They weren't going to coach it. So George Fitch and William Maloney, there are two Americans, I think I mentioned that, who lived there. And so the idea was to find their stories that the way Jamaica claimed that it has some of the best athletes in the world, and the way to really test how good an athlete is to see how quickly he can adapt to a new sport. And, you know, if you have seen Cool Runnings, you remember, yes, Sanka Coffee was racing this wooden cart on a winding mountain road. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never done that myself because it's really dangerous, but we do that in Jamaica. Some people do. And these guys saw it and thought it looked like bobsledding except for the ice. And then when they discover that there's a large part of the race is a start and you need the sprinters, and Jamaica has lots of sprinters, that's when they decided that they would try and find some sprinters. And the guys on the summer team didn't want to do it, so that's how they ended up coming to the army. and my colonel suggested that I try it out for the team.
Huh. That's really interesting that they came to the Army to find the athletes.
Well, I guess that, you know, they were, you know, we at their wit's end. You know, the guys on the summer team, which is the natural place you would go to find sprinters, were like, no. but then if you think about it, especially back then in that time frame, maybe less so now, a lot of Olympic athletes served in their nation's army.
Yeah.
Because you needed a job, you needed to train full time. Now you have a lot, you know, sports is a lot more, many of them are, you know, involved professional athletes now to a certain extent. And then there's a lot more corporate sponsorship out there. So, you know, athletes are able to, you know, train year round without necessarily having to have a job.
So when they picked out the team, how long did you guys have to kind of learn the sport before you have to go to any kind of like official time trials or anything?
So there were no official time trials, man. We just turn up and go, hey, what time is bobsledding? Okay, good. let's get the sled. Hurry, you know. So the team initially was selected in September 87. About mid-September, and we went up to Lake Placid, New York, shortly after that, and saw a bobsled for the first time. That weekend we spent and saw a bobsled track and all that good stuff. Went back to Jamaica, and that makeshift sled that they had at the Team Charles, we used that, and we trained on the Army base in Kingston for maybe 2 weeks, I would say. 3 hours every afternoon during the week, 6 hours on a Saturday morning, we'd push that thing, just, you know, practice in the start. And then I would say mid-October, we flew up to Calgary, Canada, and then went down the bobsled track for the first time. So now we're officially bobsledders.
Wow.
And, you know, so while we're still kind of, you know, learning how to go down the track there, We upped and went off to Innsbruck, Austria, and we did one race against the B teams from most of the major nations there, and then we went home for Christmas, went back to Lake Placid, New York, and spent the month of January 88 there, and then we went to the Olympic Games.
Wow!
So that was it.
that's wild. So what are people's reactions? And people, first off, in home in Jamaica, and then also when you're going to Lake Placid, you know, you see a bunch of Jamaican guys bobsledding. This had to be unheard of at the time. What are people, are they encouraging, actually, or are they like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I tell a story all the time. We're over in Europe and in Austria there, and people would see four black guys walking down the street and go, hey, are you guys American basketball players? And I'm like, you know, 5'10", can barely catch a cold, you know? And we go, no, we're Jamaican bobsledders. And they go, yeah, right. No, nobody would believe. And I had no idea why, you know? So one, but, you know, they say fact is stranger than fiction. So one day this guy asked, and I go, actually, we are uphill skiers from the Congo. You know, if you think going downhill is hard, you should try going uphill. And he believed. So people had a hard time when they first heard, believing that there was such a thing called a Jamaica bobsled team. I don't know that. Most of this time was spent overseas, so it's hard to gauge what the reaction was like in Jamaica.
Right.
But, you know, it just kind of started getting out there in the press, and people started realizing that, whoa, this is true. And some people think it was a really cool story. And some people thought we were a bunch of jokers.
What about, like, amongst your family? Like, what did they think?
It's a really good question. You know, they just kind of went with it. They didn't have a clue what the hell boxing was. I remember.
Oh, that Devin, always doing weird things. Go ahead.
Exactly. You know, my dad was actually living in Jersey at the time. And I remember at some stage of the game, I had a break and I went to visit him. And I had this VCR, this VHS tape, you know, it's way back then. And we're watching footage of bobsledding. I think probably us sliding. And he watches it in silence. And then he goes, Dev, this thing is dangerous. And I go, yeah, that's why I wear a helmet. But yeah, so, you know, they honestly didn't have a clue as to really what bobsledding was. And most Jamaicans, I mean, they're, you know, how they relate to bobsledding is, you know, what they see on the news for 30 seconds, you know?
Right.
So what was your first reactions when your team was first doing your runs? Was it just pure adrenaline? Was there scare?
Stop right there. Exactly. I was scared to death. you know what, though, guys? I'm the only one on the team who admitted that he was scared. And I know the others are lying.
Well, we have the other three on the line right now. No.
You're crazy, man.
I know they're lying, man. But I was scared to death, man. You know, I made no bones about it. I'm scared of speed and height. And
oh, good sport to pick.
But I am a bobsledder.
Now, did you instantly love it, or was it like did you grow into liking it? Like, were you like?
I was hooked on the third run. I was scared to death still, but hooked. Totally hooked. Yeah. Strange. Told you, missing screw, man.
So as time was leading up to the Olympics, and as you were saying, it was, you guys were kind of getting momentum with the popularity. Were you guys embracing it, or is it kind of like, no, we're still trying to learn this. Don't look here.
You know, it was forced upon us. It was just thrust upon us. And, you know, you're not the way we are as individuals, four individuals, and the way we are as Jamaicans. You know, we're not going to push people away. You know, so, fans and well-wishers were always there wanting to take pictures and autographs and so on. So we were accommodating, you know, it's just the Jamaican way.
Right.
And so in that way, we embraced it. We never frowned on it. It was sometimes burdensome, to be honest, because, you know, you really ought to be, especially during the Olympic Games, you really ought to be in the village kind of relaxing and getting your head together. But instead, you were out in the cold somewhere doing a photo shoot. You know, perfect. Okay, do it again. One more time. And I'm like, come on, man. You just said it was perfect. Wow. There we go. You know, so...
So let's get
one of those things.
Let's get to the Olympics, okay? So the Olympics come, and you guys are on your way, and what is that like, arriving at the Olympic Games and having expectations, or meeting all these different people, and you got your Jamaican bobsled gear on? Like, there's got to be a lot of different emotions going on, especially since you guys are like the first ones to it.
One of the things, the highlight kind of for me, is the opening ceremony. You know?
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. You grew up watching the Olympics on TV.
Right.
And you see these men and women from all over the world, these athletes marching in the stadium, and you're going, wow, those are some of the best athletes in the world. And then one day, you're the guy marching in the stadium. You know, more cameras than you can possibly count, I promise you. You know, 50,000 people in the stadium cheering. And because you have watched this on TV so many times, you know, in that moment, you are on TV all over the world as well. And, you know, perhaps there's some little kid looking at you going, wow, he's one of the best athletes in the world. And, you know, you're hoping you can live up to that. But also in that moment, if you can like pinpoint a moment when you know, when you feel that you're living your dream, it's that moment, marching in the opening ceremonies. And just, the opening ceremony is amazing. And just being in the Olympic Village and really having a chance to meet people who under normal circumstances you'd never meet is pretty special too, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I can think of this one young girl I met from Argentina. She was a skier. We're in this room watching, you know, footage of her. Of our training from the day that earlier that day, and she was sitting next to me. Don't remember what her name was. If I see her now, I probably would not remember her. But you know, those things stay with you. You know,
yeah.
They just do. You just get to meet, you know, some amazing people. The other thing that stands out is, so it's 1988, and the Cold War is still raging. And, you know, I'm an army guy, you know, I've been schooled in the art of war and I've, you know, studied the Cold War somewhat, certainly from the military perspective.
Okay.
And then you're, so in your training, in my training, and I'm made to believe that everyone behind the Iron Curtain is evil because they're the enemy, right? It's East versus West.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. and then here you're in the Olympic Village and you're in the Games Arcade. And you're standing there playing, you know, I'm a Pac-Man kind of guy. Okay. And you're there playing a Pac-Man and the guy next to you is from behind the Iron Curtain.
Yeah, it is amazing.
And,
it's
but
like
then, you know, but then you realize that, man, you know, there's really and truly the only difference between us is ideology. I mean, he's there to represent his country and do the best. So we share the same hopes and dreams, you know, and we suffer from the same human frailties. And so there was so much more we had in common than this thing called really political ideology that separated us.
Yeah.
So that was really one of the stronger things that I walked away from the experience with.
That's really cool. I mean, the Olympics kind of, I don't want to say lost luster, but you notice nowadays since like every network has about 20 different sports stations, you see thousands of sports, you kind of miss the whole, the globe is coming together for these events.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, perhaps if you're home, but I promise you in the village,
right,
you're living that. It's like, you know, utopia for 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. It's even like,
where, you know, the world is kind of shut out and you're just enjoying human beings.
Right. It's even like I can compare it to like just traveling, you know, like once you get into the restaurant or the bars or wherever and you talk to local people, all these, I don't know, all these stereotypes and thoughts you might have had always seem to go away real quickly. You just realize that people are just
people.
They're just enjoying themselves. They can't control what their government's doing, what
take care of themselves,
what the media's doing.
Yeah, just like you.
Exactly. Like no one. Everybody wants the same things. You know.
That's the bottom line, man. And that's a. You know, I remember. I've done 3 Olympic Games, and you know, so in. In 92, I met Surya Banali. I don't know if you know that name. She's a black figure skater from France.
Okay.
And then, you know, when was the last time she competed? I just remember being home watching her on TV and going, wow, she's grown up.
Yeah.
Or being in Nagano and coming outside the stadium right after the opening ceremonies and taking a photo with this young kid, 17 years old, a loser from India, and then watching him in I'm watching him on TV, you know, competing in Salt Lake City, and of course there's a big difference between a 17-year-old kid and a 21-year-old man, young man, you know.
Right.
And going, wow, look how much he has grown, but I could never have met those people and have this thing in common with them without the Olympic Games.
Absolutely.
Now when. In the competition itself, did you or the team have like expectations? Was it just we're glad to be here, or were you sitting back going, man, I'd like to get it like in the top 10 or anything like that?
Well, we know we wanted to be competitive at the start. That was our thing. But it's kind of interesting because we did the 2-man event and, you know, don't remember what we finished, but we were not entered in the 4-man event. I mean, things have changed a lot now these days. Yeah, would have had to qualify. But then there were no real qualifying standards. And so we're at the Olympic Games. It's the second week of the Olympics. And we go, hey, we did say this. We said, hey, let's enter the 4-man so we can all win a medal. And so we go, yeah, let's enter the 4-man. So again, you know, we were just like little kids around a fireman. Didn't have a clue what we're getting into.
Hey, let's sign up for figure skating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, why not? So we entered the 4-man. And actually that week we recruited a guy, Chris Stokes, who was not on the team at the start of the Olympics. He was on a track scholarship up in Idaho. And he had come to watch his brother, Dudley, who was a driver. He had come to watch Dudley race. And so we recruited Chris that week and in 3 days taught him everything we knew about pushing a sled. and ended up pushing the seventh fastest start time.
Wow.
Yeah, but then, you know how it ended. We crashed.
Right.
We basically, we got a crash course in bobsledding, and that's exactly what we did.
So you went on to go to three different Olympic Games. Are they all different memories for you? Is there one that stands out among the others? Is it the first one that got you? Or they all, obviously have a special place in your heart? Which, how do you think about
it? They're all special, all very different experiences. It's like, meeting three different people, right? Calgary obviously has a special place in my heart. It was the first, Albertville was special. It definitely wasn't as excitable as Calgary. But special for me because I in Calgary, I was a pusher. And in Albertville, I actually ended up being a driver. So more responsibilities and all that stuff, but just so much more fun. More work, but more fun. Definitely love that. Nagano was awesome. Enjoyed being in Japan. It was my first time there. And honestly, I just think the Japanese people are the most gracious people on earth, man. They were awesome. But it was perhaps, strangely enough, the most difficult of the teams for me to make because of the lack of funding. But so it was a real nice test of my commitment to get into the Olympic Games, and through the process, a really good way for me to have grown. So,
I mean, that's kind of interesting. As I was researching for this interview, I listened to an interview from the last Jamaican bobsled team from the last Olympics, and they kind of brought up you guys are the most popular brand of the bobsledding team, yet somehow you're still the least funded. Is there any reason for that?
But, here's the thing. I guess it's my job to figure it out now because I've actually taken over, assumed the responsibilities to develop the next generation of Jamaican bobsledders. Nice. The popularity that we enjoy does not necessarily translate into sponsorship dollars. And, unfortunately, our sport is one where people tend to get excited about it every 4 years.
Yeah.
And they forget that we need to actually prepare during those four-year periods. And so what you have is a situation where we struggle and we qualify for the Olympic Games. And then we get there, but people are excited to see the Jamaicans and blah, blah, blah. But we're not going to win anything and so it's my job now to solve that puzzle and get us on the footing where we're not just going to be popular but incredibly competitive.
You kind of beat me to the point here. I wanted to talk about
I'm losing you there.
Yeah, I hear some feedback there. You got me better now, or
all right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, what are you doing now? I know, like, I see that you are doing a lot of speaking and keynote speaking and motivational speaking. And obviously you just told us that you're involved now in developing new bobsledders. So what is the life of Devin Harris these days?
Yeah, crazy. I spend time on Skype speaking to strange guys from Jersey.
Yeah, well,
But yeah, so my vocation is speaking. Very fortunate enough to be able to travel around the world a little bit and speak to, audiences of various sizes and get a chance to share my philosophy of keep on pushing, however one can keep on pushing every day of their lives, actually, towards their goals, personal and professional, continue to grow and to strive to reach your full potential. So that's special for me, and I kind of feel like that is my calling. That's my purpose to inspire people, as many of them as I possibly can. I got hooked on that bobsled thing from that very third run I did in Calgary, and so although I'm not racing anymore, I can't shake it. But it's also a a fundamental belief that I've had ever since I got selected to the team, that Jamaica can actually win an Olympic bobsled medal. So it chances are it will never be me sitting in the sled or driving the sled as we win that medal, but you know, I'm still pursuing that dream from this end, and because I think it's totally doable. So I'm working on that. And I also have a foundation, the Keep On Pushing Foundation, where we support, but we provide practical solutions to some of the issues that are prevented kids in disadvantaged communities from getting properly educated. You know, really believe in children's issues, and especially that each child should have a good education. So at my old elementary school back in the old neighborhood, we support a breakfast program and a school supplies program and a couple of the school, maybe 10 schools in that neighborhood now.
Very nice. Do you ever hop in the bobsled every once in a while and still go down, or?
Oh, bobsledding is not a recreational sport, actually. you're supposed to have a license and all that good stuff.
Really?
And, if I was going to go in a sled, I would have to drive.
All right.
And it's been a while, so.
I'm sure you get this asked this 1,000 times. You guys get sick of Cool Runnings questions when it comes
to... Yes. Are you going to ask one?
No, I'm just curious as it you talk about...
Man, you know, the way I'm actually asked this all the time, do you ever get sick and tired of talking about bobsledding? And, you know, my view is if someone is curious enough to ask me a question about an important aspect of my life, the least I can do is offer, an answer as if it's the first time I'm answering the question.
Right.
So
Cool Runnings.
Yeah, Cool Runnings. Have you seen Mickey, by the way? Last time I heard he was heading south with all the proceeds from the movie.
That's actually, did you guys get any money towards the bobsled team? Did anything go towards that? Or?
No. We in each individual got some money, and would have gotten that money even if the movie was not made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The promise was that we were going to get royalties, but according to our friends at Disney, the movie didn't make a profit.
So
Pinocchio, right?
To their defense, Disney doesn't make a lot of money, so they got to be careful.
Yeah, they got a nickel and dime thing.
Yeah. I mean, they barely made anything on that Star Wars thing I heard.
Exactly. So, you know, the movie didn't make I was just in Austria in December watching the movie in German.
What, Star Wars?
No.
Cool. I gotta know what a Jamaican sounds like with a German accent.
So not very good.
So,
yeah, but Disney still didn't make any profit, man. So.
Well, I like the movie. If that means anything to you,
it makes me feel better. No, not sure if I'd be able to buy a loaf of bread with that, but you know.
So, Devin, if people wanted to check you out or see what you're doing or drop you a line, maybe after they hear this podcast or they want to get in touch with you, where can they go?
Yeah, man, I'm the easiest guy to find. DevonHarris.com. DevonHarris.com. Or, on Facebook at Facebook/KeepPushing.
Yes.
Or my Twitter handle is KeepOnPushing88.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
And what do you have any events coming up or anywhere people can go see you speak? Or
I do actually. My next one is in Jamaica.
Oh,
next what's today? Today's Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah, today's Wednesday. Wow.
Oh, Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those days.
Next Thursday, I head to Jamaica. The events I have coming up are not public per se. They're,
okay.
You know, for companies. So unfortunately, you can't just kind of barge in and go, hey, I want to listen to that Jamaican guy.
Damn. That was our plan.
No. That's something I have to work on.
We were going to stow away in the plane, just like jump out Jamaica. Surprise!
Yeah, exactly.
Devin.
But on top, sometime this year, I haven't planned a date yet. It is a public seminar. So you know what? I think I should reach out to you guys once I have that worked out.
100%. We would definitely come out or promote it for you or whatever you want.
Appreciate that.
So, Devin, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. You're a real gentleman. You got an awesome story. I'd love to have you back on in the future, maybe talk what you got going on, or maybe go more in depth into something. But it was really cool. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
No, you guys are cool for a couple of Jersey boys, too.
Yeah, well, we know what they say about New Yorkers.
What's that?
We hear you're a New Yorker now. That's even worse.
Yeah, man. Wow, 23 years, dude.
Well, you may be able to drive a bobsled, but if you're from New York, we know you can't drive a car. So,
Oh snap!
Well, I did learn to drive in Jamaica. I know how to drive stick. Do you know how to drive stick?
I do. I had a Jeep for a long time, a stick.
All right. Well, I'm half impressed. Not bad.
Devin, thank you so much, man.
Hey, take care, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. I'll be right back. I'm going to go in the kitchen for a second.
Okay.
Then we'll start the cast right after that.
Sounds good. Welcome to intermission. Oh, that's what that thing does. Well, hey, everyone. It's Mike Berlew here. Scott's in the other room. You know what? I'll take care of the promos while he's gone right now. Who out there likes fantasy sports? Pretty much all of you.
Did you use the goddamn ice cube trays?
Well, how else am I supposed to cool down here? It's warm as hell. I guess I should do this kind of quietly. DraftKings.com, fantasy sports, you can pick a team every day. Super Bowl's coming up, you can start your season with the last game of the year. Daytona 500, start your season with the first race of the year.
Brother, what the hell is in this dish, man?
I couldn't find the bathroom, dude. Yeah, NHL, NBA, any sports you want. I better do this quick. He's going to get pretty pissed at me. Again, DraftKings.com, promo code shenanigans. Who out there loves great documentary films? Our friend Dom Bagnato, for guest of the show.
What do you eat? What do you eat?
I'm on a very high-fiber diet. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. Yeah, he put out a great film called The Convenient Truth. And if you go to his website, contruthmovie.com, you put in the promo code shenanigans, not only can you get his great movie, but you get it at half price for $6.49.
There's screws in here! There's pieces of metal!
Yeah, I was in the Home Depot and I got pretty hungry, dude. Man, he's freaking out here. I better get to the next thing. Trivia Revolution. What better things can I talk about than a fun night of trivia with the best craft beers that are out there?
Need to go to the doctor now! Now!
I only bled a little bit. So, great nights. Why give out your money to the corporate beer companies out there when you can have some craft beers? Bring your family, bring your friends, have some fun. Our buddy Scott Brennan, he does Trivia Revolution as well. I saw what I did in the floor there. Yeah. I'm really bad at aiming at the toilet, so I better make this quick. He's going to throw me out of here. But everyone, again, Trivia Revolution. Look for local bars and companies that have trivia night and enjoy some craft beers. And our podcast is coming soon. Oh, hey, Scott. Welcome back.
Dude, you got to be kidding me.
What? I mean,
Let's just get back to the podcast.
I found the dead raccoon outside.
Let's just get back to the podcast. Awesome. Awesome.
Really cool pickup there.
Yeah, definitely a sweet pickup. And kind of exactly why we do this thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Over at the old Verbal Shenanigans here.
So, Mr. Christie, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you tell your friend.
I was literally just going to talk about this when it was on my list, wherever I had written down. The guy just gives you new ways to hate him every single week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, I really don't care because I'm nothing. So before you get on your
high horse,
you're a stupid libs, you know, I'm not. Okay, I'm whatever. The guy, he talks down to people. Mm-hmm. He acts like he's above and beyond things. Yeah. He's got corruption written all over him, left and right. He treats teachers, firemen, police officers, public work. And then yet him and his cronies just bank on things, you know. Mm-hmm. You see all these things, him taking a helicopter to go see his son's baseball game.
He racks
blocking
up
bridges.
What was it, like a six-figure bill and food at Giant Stadium?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like every night's a six-figure bill for him. You know what? If anything, at the end of his run, whatever you want to call over governor, we have those pictures of him in a softball uniform.
That's
how he'll be remembered in my head forever.
Does anything register in head where he's like, you know, I'm at 4%. The guy I'm trying to chase, Donald Trump's at 36-41%. Maybe I need some people to like me.
That's like today on Facebook, I put a little thing about him and
Judy
Watson.
I like him.
I'm like, and then she's like, maybe he'll be vice president. I'm thinking to myself, if Trump and Chris Christie is the vice president, we may be going to Jamaica. we may be going to Jamaica, getting the hell out of here.
Oh my God!
And it's, being on our way.
So ridiculous. Did you see now Trump is saying he's not doing the debate because somebody from Fox News. First off, if you're a Republican and Fox News insults you, that's got to tell you something.
I hate getting political, ever, really. But Chris Christie put such a bad taste in my mouth that sometimes I can't – I have to say something. Like, it's so bad. When a guy from Jamaica is bringing up a mop thing, you know, he's bad.
I just don't get the guy. I mean, he just got back there. I mean, I don't get why – why does he feel he needs to be that way? I mean, you kind of wonder when he loses this election. I mean, granted, sadly, Judy might have a point where he might become vice president, but at the same time, like, don't you just it just seems like that kid who never got hugged, and he's like, I'll show you one day, and he just wants to do stuff just to be an asshole because he has the power.
Yeah. I mean, I got so much more stuff, but well, let's do one more thing. Since we're on the topic of idiots.
Okay. Why'd you look at me?
Burlo, you down with the rap game? You in the rap game?
it's been a while. I was down with OPP when that came
out. Well, are you down with B.O.B.?
Oh, I've heard of this story.
The B.O.B., right? Mm-hmm. Well, B.O.B., you might know him from that song.
Airplanes.
I fly like paper,
I lost that, dude.
No, that's not how it goes. I thought that was, whatever. Yeah.
I want to do just...
No, that's M.I.A.
Oh.
Different one.
Yeah. I still like that song better.
But anyway, B.O.B., he's a rapper.
Okay.
And he claims the Earth is flat.
You know what? If I'm going to get my astrological information, I go to the best rappers in the world.
He claims the Earth is flat, and then he tweeted out a bunch of pictures supporting his theory that the horizon is always 100% flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's got a ton of things he points out. When you're looking down a railroad, it's flat. When you're looking up in a mountain, it's flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he drew a lot of attention. Now, do you think this attention is him just trying to... Because he's apparently got a new album coming out. So is this some absurd way of getting his name back out in the public?
More listens. I got to give credit. It's the most brilliant thing on Earth.
Maybe we need to make some asinine claim next week.
Listen, there's no oxygen in water. If there was oxygen in water, I could breathe underwater.
Gravity's a hoax.
Yeah.
It's a hoax. It's a thing created by politicians.
Exactly. Chris Christie told us that there was gravity, and I don't fall for that.
Yeah,
if
there's any proof on Earth that there's gravity, it's that Chris Christie is...
There's proof there's too much gravity. Yeah.
little less. But what makes this story interesting that I wanted to get to, Neil deGrasse Tyson...
Mm-hmm.
started tweeting him back on proof that the Earth is not flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's Burlo. If you made a statement online, right, and Neil deGrasse Tyson tweets you back,
that'd be so awesome.
You're in trouble, man. You're in a little bit of trouble because most likely 99% of the time you're going to be wrong.
I think I should spend 2 weeks tweeting stuff to Neil deGrasse Tyson in order to see if he tweets back to me.
But this is where it got really. So he tweets a bunch of facts, like Polaris is gone by 1.5 degrees south latitude. You've never been south of the Earth's equator, or if so, you've never looked up. So this is like a new beef. Neil deGrasse Tyson and B.O.B. I mean, you had Nas and Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
You had Meek Mills and Drake.
Mm-hmm.
This is the latest in a rap beef. Mm-hmm. You had 50 Cent.
It's
and
going
you know. So, but what really got interesting, B.O.B. rapped and insulted Neil deGrasse Tyson yesterday.
Oh, no, he didn't.
So he did. Even better, Neil deGrasse Tyson dropped the rap today.
Throw it up. Throw it up. No more conversation. I want to hear Neil rap.
Hold on. Oh, okay. So he says professional fun ruiner Neil deGrasse Tyson probably wouldn't even have bothered getting out of bed this morning if he knew how hard he was about to be schooled.
Oh,
shit. So B.O.B. went after him. But we have Neil deGrasse Tyson. Apparently he doesn't rap, but his nephew, let me get the story straight. His nephew named Tyson.
Oh.
Wrote a response diss track to B.O.B. called Flat to Fact, offers a rebuttal of the rapper's claims. Do you want to take a listen?
Yeah, let's do it.
Flat Earth is a problem only when people in charge think that way.
Yeah.
Mm.
Neil deGrasse.
Stops you from regressively basking in it.
Knowledge.
He learned the game from Carl Sagan. You can never check him. You say the earth is flat and then you try to disrespect him. I'm bringing facts to combat a silly theory, because B.O.B. has got to know the planet is a sphere. Whoa. Very important that I clear this up. You say that Neil's vest is what he needs to loosen up.
What?
And he's amazing because the brothers get paid when the ignorance you're spitting helps to keep people enslaved.
Oh!
You gonna make me go insane.
Now, real quick.
Not bad.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cousin Tyson, nephew Tyson, if he's trying to be a rapper, he might have to try to go into like the...
It's not bad, not professional.
It sounds like Weird Al. Like it sounds very like, what's the thing you watch, the battles, epic battles of rap?
Epic rap battles of history.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going here. I lost my spot. Okay. It won't play anymore.
Aw.
Well,
that's because the world is flat.
Anyway,
if it was a circle, it would have rotated back to your finger.
I could load the file again, but I don't really care. The point is that, one, why is Neil deGrasse Tyson worrying about this guy?
Well,
But I also think it's hilarious that he's throwing back a rap at him.
This is my thought. I mean, him and Bill Nye, they get it. They're geniuses, but they kind of get the social media.
The quirkiness of it, fun side of it.
Like an example, as you brought up, Neil, they actually asked Bill Nye about Star Trek versus Star Wars. And he plainly said Star Wars is based basically on magic with the Force.
Right.
Star Trek is actually based on future and expectations of how science goes, so he is a Star Trek person.
I just read Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to watch all the episodes of The X-Files and debunk each one.
No. Is it too late to write them in, those two, as president and vice president?
That's what I said, man. That's last election. I think those two should just be the president. Like, let's just have an IQ test. Top IQ gets to be president.
I got the greatest IQ. I have the greatest people in the world.
Get a mop. Then we got Trump. My daughter.
Vice president.
My daughter. I date her. Like, come on. This is what we're dealing with. Other countries have to be laughing at us.
I think Mexico is still laughing how they're going to pay for the wall.
Yeah.
Like, every time it's, like, some stuff I can somewhat say you don't have to say your plan. Like, when you say you're going to take down ISIS, I somewhat can understand a candidate not revealing the scenario, because obviously that involves military strategy and people's lives where you just don't fling it out there. So if you're elected, they can get ready. But something like, how am I going to build a wall that's a couple thousand miles long, and it won't cost us a penny because the country we're keeping people out of is going to build it for us. I'm listening.
Neil deGrasse Tyson could figure it out.
Well, he figured out the whole circle world thing, so.
That whole, yeah, that thing that, what is it, the 1600s they thought the Earth was flat? Maybe even before that?
Something like that. On a side note, Neil deGrasse Tyson was a part of an epic rap battle. He was playing by 2 Chainz.
That's funny.
Oh, I'm sorry, wrong person. Charlie Tuna.
Oh, I don't know Charlie Tuna.
What was he from? He was a rapper back in the 80s. Let's see.
I'm just saying, if I threw something out there and Neil deGrasse Tyson was like, no, that's wrong, I'd just probably back down pretty quickly. But B.O.B., man. B.O.B. for president.
It's all that pay attention to me. Bad publicity, there's no such thing. No.
Well, Burlo, let's wrap this bad boy up.
All right.
Let's wrap this guy up for tonight. Burlo, anything to promote?
For the moment, I'm still trying to get dates for the 8-Minute Dating comedy show.
Mine got canceled, and I don't know when. He gave me 2 more dates, but I was booked on both those dates, so I don't know when I'll be on that.
Yeah, so I'm waiting a date for myself, and I'm also waiting to see either the 3rd or the 10th I'll be on Saison and Neckbones. I'm still waiting for that date, so go on to facebook.com/DaBurls721. DaBurls 721, where I will be keeping you posted on my future endeavors.
Ooh. I guess I will quickly promote. February 12th, I'm going to be in the Poconos on a clean TV taping.
Oh, okay.
Pocono Community Theater, something like that. Information will be on my Facebook and the Verbal Shenanigans Facebook. But this is one of those fantastic episodes, people, that I love doing. Big thanks to Devin Harris, the Jamaican bobsled team. Cool runnings, man. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Follow us on Twitter. What are you playing?
I don't even know what was. I didn't know it was me. First my phone went off, then my computer went off.
Yeah, whatever. It's okay, man.
I'm telling you, water is not wet.